Let's get down to business. Taking a look at Wall Street. Dow Jones Industrial Average down 395 to close at 25,017. S&P 500 down 45 at 2,690. NASDAQ Composite down 219 to finish at 7,028. Russell 2000 small and mid caps down 30 at 1496. Yield on the 10-year Treasury note down 2 basis points at 3.06%. Oil up 71 cents at $57.17 per barrel. Gold up $2.80 at $12.24.90 per ounce. So today, the Dow dropped 1.5%, S&P 500 1.6%, and the NASDAQ Composite down 3%. Trading has turned rocky since the S&P 500 finished the third quarter with its biggest gain since 2013. The broad index is down 6.1% since the end of September. Support is back around 2640, again around 2603. Apple cut production orders for all three iPhones it launched in September, this in response to lower-than-expected demand. Since Apple's share price peaked at a bit more than $232 on October 3rd, the stock has plummeted by nearly 20%, lopping more than $200 billion worth of value off of the company's market capitalization. Facebook, Apple, Amazon, Alphabet, and Netflix have fallen steadily over the past 6 weeks, each losing 20% or more from recent highs. And of course, Wall Street defines a bear market as a fall of 20% or more. Facebook, in particular, hard hit during this round of selling, falling to a new low for the year after a raft of negative publicity surrounding its handling of foreign influence in the 2016 election. Both Facebook and Netflix have lost more than 30% from recent highs. Collectively, the five stocks, the five fangs, have lost nearly $1 trillion in value since hitting their respective 52-week highs. So here we are, 9 years into the U.S. stock rally, investors grappling with two forces. Many feel the best days of this economic cycle are past, especially with windfalls from 2017's tax overhaul set to fade. Though few economists foresee a recession soon, analysts and portfolio managers say the fall pullback offers a reminder of the ever-present risk that markets will fall sharply as rising interest rates and slowing growth hit corporate profits. Third quarter earnings were outstanding, both on earnings and revenue growth. The percentage of companies beating expectations and the magnitude of those beats. The pairing of rosy earnings announcements and stock market declines can be explained by several big-name companies issuing cautious guidance into the fourth quarter. The market knows that earnings growth has peaked. The biggest economic event for the rest of this year, and maybe even for parts of next year, scheduled to take place November 30th and December 1st. That's when Trump is scheduled to sit down for a pair of meetings with Chinese Premier Xi Jinping, with the threat of a spiraling trade war with China hanging over a U.S. economy that may already be running a bit short on momentum heading into next year. Do not expect a formal or final deal to come out of the G20 meeting in Buenos Aires. Instead, look for talks about future talks. And while everyone is waiting for a deal with China, don't forget USMCA, also known as NAFTA 2.0. Trump needs Democrats to complete the deal. Democrats say they want to see stronger protections against pollution and climate change, improved labor standards in Mexico, and certainty that the U.S. will regain jobs lost to Mexico. And they want assurances the deal can be enforced. Meanwhile, a group of 40 Republicans protesting new protections for LGBT workers that Canada insisted on potentially imperiling some GOP support. If he's blocked in Congress, Trump will be facing a major setback on an issue where he's already been claiming credit for delivering on a campaign promise. He'll be left with the unattractive choices of leaving NAFTA in place, heading back to the negotiating table, or just pulling out of the deal entirely. Iran will continue to export oil despite U.S. sanctions, which are part of a psychological war doomed to failure, at least according to Iranian President Hassan Rouhani. By reimposing sanctions on OPEC's third biggest crude producer, Washington wants to force Tehran to drop its ballistic missile program, further curb its nuclear work, and limit its support for proxy militias from Syria to Lebanon and Yemen. Rouhani said Washington lacked the necessary international support for its sanctions and noted that it had granted temporary waivers to 8 major buyers of Iranian oil. The European Union, France, Germany, Britain, Russia, and China, participants along with the United States in that 2015 deal that lifted sanctions on Iran in exchange for curbs on its nuclear program, been trying to find ways to circumvent the U.S. limitations. In particular, the EU has been trying to establish a special purpose vehicle, or SPV, for non-dollar trade with Iran. The SPV was conceived as a clearinghouse that could be used to help match Iranian oil and gas exports against purchases of EU goods, circumventing the U.S. sanctions, which are based on the global use of the dollar for oil trade. The EU wanted to have the SPV set up by this month, but so far no country has offered to host it. The National Association of Home Builders' monthly confidence index plunged 8 points, dropping down to 60 for the month of November. NAHB, the building industry's Washington lobby, noted in a press release that the reading of 60 is still positive, but the customers are taking a pause. The 8-point plunge is just reminiscent of that 9-point drop just after the 9/11 attacks and a 10-point drop back in early 2014. The overall reading is the lowest since mid-2016. Labor is still expensive, lots are still scarce, lumber is at the mercy of tariff politics, and now mortgage rates are rising and customers are holding back. In November, the sub-gauge of current conditions fell 7 points to 67. The tracker of expected future conditions plunged 10 points to a reading of 65, and the gauge of buyer traffic was down 8 points to 45. Yeah, keep in mind, any reading above 50 signals improvement. While the pace of the housing market activity has decelerated, there are still no signs of threatening excesses, such as inventory overhangs and a surge in delinquencies. All the headwinds that builders have been complaining about may already be baked into the big company stocks. Shares of D.R. Horton down about 32% year-to-date. KB Homes up today, but shares have lost 41% year-to-date. Nissan chairman Carlos Ghosn was arrested in Japan on suspicion of underreporting $44.6 million in pay. Also arrested Greg Kelly, a representative director at Nissan, on suspicion of conspiracy with Ghosn. The company said it began investigating months ago, acting on a tip from a whistleblower. Even as authorities in Japan arrested the pair of executives, Nissan moved to fire Ghosn. After a year-long and very public deliberation over the location of its second headquarters, Amazon this week disappointed some policymakers when it announced that it would split HQ2 into two locations, one in New York City, the other in the Washington, D.C. metro area. In choosing New York and D.C., Amazon opted for two cities that have led the economic expansion since the end of the last recession in 2009, far outpacing the rest of the nation in job growth. But what's the economic future for a Hartford or Akron or Tulsa or the countless small towns and other rural areas that didn't get so much as a serious look from Amazon? They're living in a world where a small number of superstar companies choose to locate in a handful of superstar cities where they have the best chance of recruiting superstar employees. New research paper from the Brookings Institute examines how policy contributes to regional divides and how it could help reduce them. They argue for heavy investment in digital skills, even in areas without a large existing high-tech sector. They seek new channels to ensure that businesses in struggling areas have access to capital, including small business lending from banks and venture capital for startups. Parts of rural America lack fast broadband internet. It's a big disadvantage that the authors of the report hope to see addressed. They urge heavy federal investment in 10 or so growth pole mid-sized cities that are close to struggling smaller towns and can serve as economic drivers. And finally, they suggest more federal support for people who want to move to greater economic opportunity, a countermeasure for one of the more surprising trends of the last generation, specifically a decline in Americans' mobility in pursuit of better jobs. Well, each year the Oxford English Dictionary identifies a word of the year. These are words that aren't necessarily new, but maybe they've picked up some steam over the course of the year and are trending in both search activity on the Oxford site as well as on social media and the internet at large. The word of 2018 is toxic. Arguably a better choice than the 2017 winner, youthquake, in part because I never use the word youthquake. Dow Industrials down 395 to finish at 25,017. S&P 500 down 45 to close at 2690. NASDAQ Composite down 219 to finish at 7,028. As always, follow along at moneyradio.com, live streaming and archived audio, and our daily blog, eatthebankers.com.